Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
All right, Joel Klatt has had a chance to listen to a little bit of this. He joins us for his weekly visit. Lead college football analyst at Fox Sports. Brought to us by Audi Flatirons. Joel, good morning. Welcome. And, yeah, you're joining in on a conversation. It's that annual holiday tradition out here in Denver where we're once again blaming offensive coordinators and questioning whether or not they're coaching for their job over these next 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, I got to tell you, because everything that Stink just said, Stink, you're 1,000% right. And yet, there's also the adage that I really believe deep down in my heart about this sport, which is, as a coach, what you see on film, you're either coaching or allowing. You know, so to some extent, it is the tight end's problem that he is not making those blocks. It's 100%. But you also have to hold the coach responsible for whether he knows that or not. Like, what? Well, why isn't he getting it done? So, man, this is a tough one, because mediocrity is invading, you know, I feel like every part of our society, and I feel like we do need to hold people accountable, whether it's players or coaches. The problem here lies in, at least in my estimation, the problem lies in the fact that when the front office decides to hold a player accountable, they're also bringing an indictment on themselves. And that is where I feel like the rub is. They're much more hesitant to have an indictment of the player or an evaluation of the player rather than the coach, because the coach is cheaper, it's easier, it's a revolving door. People generally get behind, like, okay, we'll just switch this, and we made the change. Okay, here we go. So I think it's tough, Stink. I really do, because, you know, maybe both areas need to be changed. Let's be honest, because as much as I agree with everything that you said, Rich's offense is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not innovative. He doesn't build on his play calls. His sequencing is not great. I just don't, you know, nothing about it screams dynamic, or nothing about it to me says, like, hey, we're really attacking the defense. They just run concepts. And that's what the majority of offensive coordinators do. They're like, hey, look at me. Look at what I did on Tuesday night, everybody. Here's this shift and this motion, and I think it's going to do this. And the sequencing and the building of the play, the building of the game plan throughout the game doesn't generally happen, and I don't feel like that happens with Denver.
What do you do, Joel? I mean, what do you do if you, like, as a young coordinator, and I think this is all of us, as young players, as a young quarterback at CU, you know, you weren't as good as you were as an older quarterback once you had seen the things you had seen. As a young broadcaster, the first year you did, you know, you were the lead analyst on Fox's College Game of the Week. You know, you weren't as good as you are now. I mean, and you're tremendous at it. So, I mean, we all grow through that process. At what point do you say, hey, if this young coordinator, if we give him some more pieces, you know, he's going to get better. He's going to grow in that role. And at what point do you say, hey, man, he's just not good enough?
Generally, and I think you make a great point. I'm a big believer that very rarely do we go
up. Oh, did we lose
you? Through experience. You got me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we got
Sorry.
You now.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just going to say, very rarely do we as people grow just through experience. Generally, we need, you know, teaching. So you've got to go through. That's why child rearing is so important. That's why all of you out there that are parents, this is why it's so important to take small mistakes with your children and address them, is because experience alone doesn't do anything for us. You know, it's like going out there and practicing a hook on the range. You're just going to get good at hitting a hook, you know? I mean, that's all it is. You're just going to practice bad habits. Generally, we need boundaries. We need parenting as kids. We need teaching as students. We need coaching as players and as young coordinators. What you need is you need an opportunity to grow under somebody that will hold you accountable, teach you through it, suggest things through it. Go back and create a hindsight page or packet, if you will, about, hey, this is what was good in this game plan. This is what I wish I would have done during the course of the game. This is how I'm going to become a better play caller. And I generally believe that it's really tough to do that without some sort of outside influence or pressure.
Okay, then where are you at?
Not the answer you wanted.
Well,
look,
no,
I love
no,
it when Mike.
No, no, no,
Mike's
no, no,
always
no,
like,
no, 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 no,
okay.
No, no, no. It's a
that
good.
That doesn't
end.
Help us, Joel. Doesn't help Denver win this week.
Right.
No, that's not. It was a wonderful answer. I loved the entire answer. Where are you at then? It sounds like you kind of disagree a little bit with Mark when we're talking about Scangarello. Do you think that this offense would be better served, especially if they're going to go with a younger quarterback in Drew Lock, to have a different guy in charge of the offense?
Yeah, I think that you need the opposite end of the spectrum. You cannot have two inexperienced entities. It's just, it never works. You can have two experienced entities. You can have one old, one young at either quarterback or play caller. You know, you could have an old quarterback, young play caller, or an old coach play caller and a young quarterback. Very rarely do you see success with two inexperienced people. And even people are like, well, what about Sean McVay? Sean McVay had a ton of experience growing under guys that really understood play calling and game plans specifically. And so I wouldn't say that he was inexperienced last year. He might have been inexperienced in the Super Bowl because he hadn't been there yet. But as a coach and a play caller and an offensive game planner, I think he had a ton of experience, which is why he was able to allow Jared Goff to grow so much. So to me, I don't think that you can have two inexperienced entities. So I think that you, if you're going to go with Locke, I think you would need to make a change personally.
So,
so I do agree. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but you guys see what I'm saying, right? I mean, it can't be just one or the other.
I get that it's a tough, I mean, it's a, you're in a tough position, but.
Go ahead, Mark. You know, argue with Joel. He loves this.
No. I would look at Sean McVay and say, well, then, you know, I mean, then is Sean McVay has he lost his fastball when it comes to calling plays? Cause a lot of people were like, well, you know, and this is me. People are like, well, Sean McVay, they've caught up. Right. They've caught up to Sean McVay and his play calling. He's no longer innovative, right? No, your line sucks. That's why you've dropped down to 16th in the league as far as scoring points in the first half. Not
That's
because
right.
you
That's
can't
right.
coach anymore. So there is,
That's
this
right.
is kind
it's
of a chicken, I don't know that you, it's a chicken and an egg kind of conversation we're having here.
I totally agree with you, which is why, listen, I'm frustrated with some of my answers here, but it is true. To some extent, but to McVay's point, the reason they were so good last year is because they could sit in 11 personnel and still run the football.
Right.
That is a passing personnel. You're getting nickel personnel on the field for the defense, and then they would still run the football well. That's a tough, that's a precarious spot for a defense. So then they were able to make it. They were able to threaten the middle of the field with a slot player and not just a tight end. See, personnel has such a big factor on the game of football of I think, where and when and how effectively you can attack each area of the field. Each personnel group is a little bit different in that respect. And when you can run the football out of 11 personnel, we're talking about one back, one tight end, and you've got three receivers on the field. When you can run out of that personnel, you can also threaten the middle of the field with the slot receiver. And I'm not just talking about the ability to catch a short route 5 or 10 yards down the field. I'm talking about threaten the middle of the field, the seam of the defense. That means that the safety has got to be aware of it, and he can't just help and run in the run game, in the run fit. So if you're running the football out of that, it's really tough to stop. So your offensive line is much better. I know that they've lost some personnel off of that offensive line. They can't run it out of 11 personnel, and dadgummit, wouldn't you know, McVay's not brilliant anymore.
Right. It is funny because I looked at last week's film. I dug through because I have the Chargers this week, Joel. And Scangarello went into heavy personality, the two or three tights, 54% of the time. Unheard of in today's game, right? 54%. You're either in two tights or three tights. And you're looking at that going, all right, we're going to, you know, a lot of teams will go, let's get big to throw. Let's get big personnel to face us, and let's throw because we're going to have mismatches. And, one, they got in big personnel. They couldn't run the ball effectively anyhow because their tight ends and their tackles can't hold up. And then, you know, you can't throw it because your tight ends aren't getting open. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll move on from that because I need to ask you this question. What did you think of Drew Locke's first appearance?
Say it again.
What did you think of Drew Locke's first game? What do you think of his first outing as a starting quarterback of the Broncos?
I thought it was pretty good. I got to tell you, like, I was pleasantly surprised. I've been a little bit of a doubter. I don't want to be, you know, like negative Nancy, but based on what I saw in college, based on what we've been hearing about him not being ready, so on and so forth, I was a bit of a doubter. I thought he competed better than I thought he would. And it comes down to this, guys, and it really doesn't matter what the name is on the back of your jersey, where you were drafted. It's about getting the ball on time and on target. I think that's something that from a consistency basis, he can struggle with at times. But I thought he played pretty well against San Diego. I really did.
What's the next step for him, especially as you go up against the Texans on the road?
Well, I mean,
how do you game plan?
We don't really think they're going to beat the Texans.
Well, no, but how do you put together a game plan to continue his development without getting him crushed?
Mike, this is a great question and speaks directly to the point of readiness, right? So you argued with me all season long about, like, well, I don't care if he's ready. He's got to go play because we got to see it.
Right.
And then you just posed the golden question. So how do we build a game plan that allows him to have any amount of sex? Without getting crushed, right?
Yeah.
Like, therein lies the rub. And if it were me, what I would try to do is everything that Denver can't do: run the football effectively, have the short passing game, run action pass. Run action pass is when it's not about. So difference between run action and play action pass really quickly. Play action pass is that you're going to have a protection associated with the run fake. So you're actually going to make a call, ID it, and you're going to actually have a protection. So you're going to understand where the offensive linemen are going. Run action pass, they are in a run action mode. That doesn't mean it's an RPO. It means that they're in a run action mode. So if you're going to boot out, it's like reach and run gap and a half for the offensive line or something along those lines. I would have a lot of run action pass associated with the game plan. I would get into the RPOs, which is something that he did in college. I would give him every opportunity to put the curl flat and support defenders of the defense in conflict and on as many as snaps as I possibly can. That conflict, I think, is really important because one thing that you don't want as a young quarterback at any point in the National Football League is to be in an obvious down situation where the defense knows what you need to do and they know what you want to do, and then they can tee off on it. So they've got to be on schedule, they've got to run the football, and then they've got to have conflict plays based on that base down situation.
Hey, Sima,
You like that?
Oh, you're gonna go back and replay that, aren't you? You're gonna steal all of that.
Normally I do steal all of Joel's stuff, but that one's a little above my pay grade. So I'd be trying to spit it out and I'd be stumbling all over the broadcast and it really wouldn't make sense. So like, I know I don't have, like, Joel has 97 mile an hour fastball. I'm throwing, I'm like the crafty lefty, you know, I'm 88, you know, in and out, up and down. And it's just a little different.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're being too hard on yourself. You're more like Harris from Major League. You got a little Bardol. You got a little Vaseline. You got a little Crisco.
Yes, exactly.
Any one of those would give you 2 to 3 inches on the curveball.
Are you telling me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball? All right.
Harris, let's not start a holy war.
College football. Saw you quoted extensively in the Denver Post over the weekend in talking about both CU and CSU. So a two-part question here for you. How confident do you feel in the direction they're going under Mel Tucker, and is it time for Mike Bobo to go?
It's so, you know, the CSU, I mean, this is part of my elitism, if you will. And I'm admittedly a college football elitist, but, you know, if you're in the Mountain West, like, anyways, I don't really know what I want to say about Colorado State. I mean, if they change, great. If not, you know, great, whatever. Colorado is definitely on the right track under Mel Tucker because last year they struggled immensely, immensely trying to finish games. Trying to finish games was horrendous. They were not tough. They could not run the ball. They were not good at the line of scrimmage. And I felt like that changed this year as the course of the season went on. They were able to beat Stanford in a physical game. They were able to run the football and close out Washington in a physical game. And while the record is the same, the recruiting is better. Everything about the program suggests that it's going to get better. And then just let me go back really quickly to Colorado State. You've got to make a decision. Every program that waffles, are we going to keep them? Are we not going to keep them? And it goes on for years and years. All that does is it hurts the stability around the program. It hurts the ability of the coaching staff to create urgency within the group of players that they have. And it also hurts recruiting. So, you know, regardless of what CSU does, they've got to address the consistency moving forward. Put a stake in the ground and go. One thing that I would say about Bobo's teams is I don't generally feel like they're tough at the line of scrimmage like Colorado is trying to do under Mel Tucker. So there you go.
All right. One last college question for you. Do you get any sense that Alabama under Nick Saban has peaked?
No. No, they'll be right back. I jumped off that cliff once before in my life, and I said after they lost to Ole Miss in, like, 2015, I was like, hey, this is the beginning of the end for Alabama, and I am damn sure not going to do that again. You talk about learning from your mistakes. Here's one of them. Here's the thing. They had unprecedented injuries on their defense. Their best player on offense, their quarterback, got hurt, and they were still 10-2, and they were within 3 points of beating Auburn on the road. Like, what suggests, if you look at the recruiting rankings, they're going to be just fine. He's one of the best coaches out there. Like, this whole narrative that they're all of a sudden going to take this precipitous fall, I think it's just absolutely false. Now, will it be harder in the future because LSU is recruiting really well and they seem to have good footing right now with Coach Ogeron? Yeah, maybe. But, you know, Alabama is not done. They'll be right back in the playoff next year. I'm almost convinced of it.
Championship weekend this weekend. Conference championships. You see any surprises?
I don't. I think that Oregon probably has the best chance to create an upset of all the teams out there. I think that we'll probably see a lot of chalk. And if Oregon wins, I think it produces an interesting and incredible matchup for Baylor and Oklahoma. And the winner probably goes as long as LSU beats Georgia. So it's all kind of worked itself out here into the end. And I got to tell you, I love this game this weekend. I wish that we required teams to go to the playoff because I think it would create more urgency and just a better overall through one of these conference championship sites.
All right, you got Ohio State and Wisconsin this weekend? Hello?
Hello?
You have Ohio State and Wisconsin this weekend?
I do, yes. Yeah. I'm in Indianapolis, and it'll be my seventh time seeing Ohio State. Hey, by the way, I'll help out everybody over there at Dove Valley. If you want to figure out your entire draft, just go watch Ohio State. For God's sake, they're unbelievable.
I dare you to triple down on the DC Comic Avengers thing, because I watched it last week. You doubled down, and I respect
it. Oh, yeah.
Triple down on that bad boy.
Oh, 100%. You think I'm scared to do that? I almost wanted to bring that Star Trek, Star Wars smoke action.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, when that came up, I just nodded my head and just went, well done, because if there's anybody that is, like, perfectly been groomed to take on cartoon guy, it's you.
Enthusiast?
It's you.
Cartoon enthusiast guy.
Okay, it's you.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I was there, like, was well this, done.
There was this website. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but, like, it was, like, comics.com or something, and they had a whole headline that were, like, football analyst messes up DC and Marvel. I was like, yes, yes. That, like, my life is complete. Like, when I get these people, when I get their panties in a wad, that's just,
it's beautiful. All right, Joel. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you bet, yeah, fellas.
See you later.
You know, the pleasure's all on this side.
I know it is.
Yes.
I can tell.
Oh,
I can tell how much you enjoy it every single week.
You're a big Michael Bolton fan.
Yeah.
Celebrate the entire collection.
See you, Joel.
All right. See ya.
It was a good name.
Yeah. Joel Klatt. I gotta put him on hold. Otherwise, he'll just keep going.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about breaks, you know.
No.
Banned or not banned, you know, right. Away we go. All right, Joel Klatt, each and every week, brought to us by Audi Flatiron.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.